Well, we've been in a series called The Life of Faith, and I just want to remind you, first of all, faith's how we begin this Christian life. It's by grace we're saved through faith. Amen. When we believe Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that's the beginning of our life with the Lord. Amen. Faith is how we're supposed to live every day. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. The Word of God also tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so, you know, I'm not taking this too far when I say that the days that we didn't really believe and really live by faith, those days didn't please the Lord. Amen. And so if we want to please the Lord every day, we need to every day really live by faith. Jesus tells the disciples, have faith in God. It's a big deal in the scripture. And it's something really important to the Lord that every day we live by faith. If we're going to truly follow Jesus and be a disciple of the Lord, we're going to have to live by faith. And it's really important in our believing and living by faith that we understand that our faith has to be a living faith, not a dead faith. We need to understand the difference. See, when we really believe, it changes how we live. If somebody says they believe, but you can't tell in their life, you don't see any change in their life, I want you to understand that's not real faith. That's what the Bible calls a dead faith. To be a believer and believe in His existence and actively trust Him. See, a lot of people call Him Lord, but then they don't make Him Lord. They say He's Lord, but they don't bow the knee to Him. They don't turn their heart and their life over to Him. They don't do what He says. They have a dead faith. We're going to go to James chapter 2 and begin in verse 14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If it doesn't have works, it's dead. In other words, it's a good for nothing faith. It won't accomplish anything. It's faith with works. I really believe this way. It's not faith and works. It's a certain kind of faith. It's faith with works. It's faith that has works that go along with it as the evidence of it. Because faith without works, it's worthless. It can't save you. It won't get you healed. You won't see any miracles in your life. Living faith, real faith, is evidenced in our lives by how we live and what we do. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, just faith that doesn't have any works, nobody else can see that that's real. But when it changes our lives, when it changes the things that we do on a daily basis, I tell you, that kind of faith is easy to see. He says, you believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Demons believe and tremble. That's not the kind of faith we want. He says, do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? He says, foolish man. See, it's foolish to think just saying you believe, or get this, thinking you believe is real faith. Here's the kind of faith that gets answered prayers. Here's the kind of faith that brings blessings and miracles. Here's the kind of faith that other people can see is real, is when You have works with your faith. When you are being obedient to the Lord, then it's evident that your faith is real. James gives us a couple of examples in verse 21. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And I know that most of you probably know the story, but I just want to run through it very quickly and briefly, just kind of hit the high points. But the Lord told Abraham, he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Wow. How can this be? That the Lord tells this man to take his son that he loves and go offer him as a sacrifice. And so Abraham rose early in the morning. I mean, he got up the next morning ready to go. I think I would have been like, Lord, I'm going to have to pray about this for about 3 days. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'd be like, Lord, I'm going to have to get counsel from other people on this, and I'll get back to you. And, you know, I'm probably going to come back and tell you this ain't right. But Abraham's faith was so great that when God told him to do this, he got up ready to do it the next morning. I think that's even harder than what the Lord would ask of each of us. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we sang about it tonight, or Joni talked about it, and then we sang about giving him our all, but that we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice. I want to tell you, here's real faith. Here's a living faith. It's when we say, God, here's my life. Whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want. But that was certainly what Abraham did when he gets up the next morning and he takes his son to go and to sacrifice him. And he raised the knife to sacrifice him, and the Lord stopped him. And then the Lord provided a lamb for the sacrifice. But his faith and trust was so great, he was willing to obey God no matter what. Now, here's a little bit of the inside story there. It's given to us in Hebrews 11, 19. It tells us that he was so sure that God would raise him from the dead if he obeyed the Lord and sacrificed him. He just knew that's how this was going to go, that God was going to raise him from the dead. But here's the thing. He had such faith and confidence in God. He knew that he could trust God, that he could obey God, no matter how crazy or wild it might seem. So back to James, verse 22, it says, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Those two are connected, by the way. The fact that he believed God, he was called the friend of God. I want to tell you, a true friend will believe what you say, and especially when it's the Lord God Almighty who cannot lie. If you want to be his friend, you always believe what he says. Then he says, verse 24, he says, you see, then a man is justified by works and not by faith only. It's really strange. I hear some preachers saying it's by faith only. Well, they need to read James. I think some of them don't believe James belongs in the Bible, but I'm just going to take the whole word of God. I believe it all. And I believe it all fits together when we understand it and interpret it properly. But then in verse 25, he says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? I know most of you know this, but when the children of Israel sent spies into the land, to the promised land, to spy out the land, she hid the spies so that they didn't get caught. And the Bible says, here's this prostitute. She was justified because of what she did. By her act of faith, she was justified. See, when we truly believe, here's the point we need to get, is there's going to be evidence of it in our life. It can't just be talk. It can't just be something that we think in our head. There has to be evidence of it in our life. And I think for a lot of believers, this is way too much or way too little, I mean, evidence. Evidence. You know, evidence, that's what they use in a courtroom. Well, a lot of believers, you couldn't convict them of believing anything. There's not much evidence. You know what I'm saying? It's just talk. But if you're believing God for a miracle in your marriage, what's the evidence in your life that you're believing God? I mean, are you obeying God and loving your wife? Are you obeying God in submitting to your husband? Preacher's gone to meddling. If we're going to believe God for miraculous provision, what is the evidence in our life? Do we give an obedience to the Lord as he tells us? Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, we have to have the evidence of things not seen. You can't see faith, but you can see the evidence of it. Amen. We just need to understand there needs to be some real evidence in our life. It's not just something we talk about, but it's something that we live. When we need a miracle, I want to tell you it is faith that God responds to, and our actions are what show our faith. And you see this in the Bible over and over and over again. Obedience. That's what demonstrates our faith and trust in God. When Abraham puts his son Isaac on the altar, he was showing God his faith and his trust. Lord, if you just would bless my finances, Lord, then you know I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give. Lord, if you just give me another day in the week. I mean, I'm so busy, you know. I need some time to rest and to catch up. If you just give me an extra day in the week, Lord, I would keep the Sabbath day. Lord, if you give me a 25th hour, just one more hour in the day, I would make time for prayer and your word. It's amazing how so often people want to put the onus, the responsibility back on the Lord for the things where we are not really wholeheartedly obeying God and doing what God would ask or won't tell us to do. But I'm telling you tonight that if we really trust God, see, if you really trust God, you can afford to give God time. Because he can more than make it up to you. I have to tell you that in this old crazy world, your time can be wasted. It can be stolen away by 1,000 different things. So why not just go ahead and trust God with your time? Amen. But see, it takes faith with works to really do that. And now I want to tell you that, see, that just applies in so many different areas of our life. I think obedience always starts with the written word of God, but we also have to act on our faith when God speaks to us personally. Like old Noah, God tells him to build a boat and he just starts building a boat. He responds to what God says to him. Abraham, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, how the Lord called him to leave where he was, and he said, I'm gonna take you to a place, I'll tell you when we get there. He didn't tell him where he's going. He says, I'll tell you when we get there. What if we just obeyed what God told us? How many times in Scripture did some simple act of obedience precipitate a miracle? Just a small, little, simple act of obedience. Sometimes, you know, it's like maybe if it was a big thing, we could see how that might matter. But I'll tell you, a lot of the time, in the big scheme of things, it was just a simple act of obedience that showed someone's faith. And what if you obeyed God and no miracle happened? I don't know about you, but as far as a miracle, most of the time when I obey God, I don't recognize a miracle that happened. I know that God blesses me. I know that I live a blessed life. But I don't identify a miracle just because I obey God in every circumstance. But here's the thing. When you obey God, you know what? You did what you were supposed to do, and you can trust God with the rest. Amen. Always, always, always. And our obedience is that act of faith that shows God that we truly trust Him. I mean, what if you just speak when He says speak? What if you just go when He says go? What if you just do what He says to do? Romans 1:5 in the NIV, it speaks of the obedience that comes from faith. I really believe this. If somebody has an obedience problem, well, the real issue is they have a faith problem. They don't trust God enough. They don't have enough faith in God. Because if you really have enough faith in God, you know that God is going to do you right. You know, it doesn't matter how bad it looks, like this is going to be so hard for me to obey. Doesn't matter. You know, you can trust God. There's an obedience, you see, that comes from faith. It's not a feeling. Some people, you know, they think it's just something they feel. And I got to tell you, sometimes spirit-filled people can be some of the worst about living by their feelings. Well, I just feel like, listen, everything you feel isn't the Holy Spirit. Good grief. You can't live by your feelings. You talk about a roller coaster. That'll mess you all up. You are hardly ever going to get it right if you live by your feelings. So faith is not a feeling. It's not something that just comes over you. Faith is when we choose to trust God, to take Him at His word, and we do so to the extent that we're willing to obey Him and do what He wants us to do. Real faith, I'll tell you, it's acting on the word of God. When you forgive, that's faith. When you're kind to those that don't deserve it, that's faith. When you bless those who curse you, that's faith. You're trusting God when you obey God. See, I want you to understand that, yeah, you know, we can talk about Abraham and this big event that happened in his life, and there are times where there's big events that happen in our life, but I'm talking about living by faith every day. And part of that is just in the simple commands of our Lord and Savior, that we just by faith, we do what He says because we trust Him that He knows what's best. And I have to tell you, I see a whole lot of this in Christian culture in America where people just kind of slough off so much of the commands, but the teachings of Jesus especially. It's amazing to me that they just kind of put them in an optional category. And let me tell you what's really going on there. The real problem is they don't have enough faith in Jesus. They think that if they do this, they're going to get taken advantage of, or they're going to get mistreated and walked on. I want to tell you, the Lord is more than able to take care of His people and bless His people. He can stomp any devil in your life. We just need to learn to trust the Lord and believe Him and just obey what He says. Every word, every word, every word in this book, when you read it, when you hear it, you say, I believe that. And when God speaks to you about something and He tells you to do something or He tells you to knock it off, you say, yes, sir, I believe. And you obey what He tells you. Let's consider the faith, the obedience of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. It's really an interesting story. Luke 17, we're going to read 11 down through 19. It happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 who were lepers who stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now there's only one that returned to give thanks and glorify God. And that's another message for another time. But these 10 lepers, they didn't even get close to Jesus. They stood afar off because that was what lepers were supposed to do. They weren't supposed to get close to other people. And so they stood afar off. Now think about this. They didn't even get close to Jesus. They didn't ask Jesus to heal them. Not specifically. A lot of people don't understand this, but mercy has a whole lot to do with compassion. And they were asking Jesus, it's that compassion with action, that's what it is. And they were asking Jesus for compassion with action. They're saying, "Have mercy on us." And Jesus didn't go over and lay hands on them. He didn't speak a word over them and say, "Be healed." None of that. He just says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." You see, that according to the law, that was how they could be certified as having been healed. And so what did they do? They went. They just went. He says, "Go show yourself to the priest." You know what they did? They didn't know any better. They just did what Jesus said. Oh, that we would do that. That we would just do what he says, even if we don't understand. Now, wait a minute, Lord. We came here for healing. We were hoping that you would show us some mercy. No, they just went. And as they went, they were healed. If we just do what the Lord tells us to do, we'll be so much better off. I pick on my wife. You know, the Lord made it clear to her that she was not to hurry when she drives. I just want to say he has not made that clear to me yet. He knows me. He loves me. But here's the thing. Did you know she obeys that? You know why? Because she actually believes that if she obeys the Lord, that he can get her where she needs to be when she needs to be there. And she says, "It's going to be all right." There's a traffic jam. Something just happened on the road. We left 20 minutes early, and now we're going to be late. And she's okay. Because she's obeying what the Lord told her to do. I'm just telling you, if we'll just live in this where we just obey God, we're so much better off. And God is more than enough and more than able to work things out for us. This incident with the lepers is not an isolated thing. In Mark 3:5, Jesus tells a man with a withered hand, "Stretch forth your hand." You might say, "Well, that's nothing." He obeyed. And he may not have wanted to stretch forth that withered hand where everybody could see it, but he did. In John 5:8, it tells about a man who was an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." He had to rise, take up his bed and walk, and he was healed. In John 9:7, he tells a blind man, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Jesus, couldn't you just spit in some dirt and put mud in his eyes like he did that other guy? I mean, he sent this man, he says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." You know what he did? He went and washed in the pool of Siloam and he was healed. Right. If we just obey God. See, the reason obedience is so important is because it is an act and an expression of our faith. Our faith has to be faith with works. When the children of Israel were finally ready to enter into the promised land, the priests had to step into the edge of the water in the River Jordan before the waters would part. They actually had to step in first. They did this in obedience to God. And I want you to know that there are times when God tells us to do something that might not make sense to us, and it might seem, you know, like we're stepping in the middle of something, but we just need to understand that God knows what he's doing, and we can trust him if we will and just act in faith. But we gotta always act on our faith. You know, think about this. The young man David, he actually believed that the Lord would enable him to kill Goliath. But that's not the end of the story, is it? No. David went out to meet the giant, and the Bible says that he ran to meet him. I just want you to understand, you see, sometimes we just need to act on our faith. I mean, when we know that God is in it, we just need to be bold about obeying the Lord and doing what he wants us to do. So what will you do because you believe? Is there some obedience that you need to follow through with? Is there some disobedience that you need to change? Is there a step that you need to take? When I'm healed, I'll forgive. That's not the way it works. When you forgive, you'll be healed. I'll give when I have plenty. What if you had plenty when you give? Read the Bible. Let me make this practical as I can. Sometimes you just need to fill out that job application. Sometimes you just need to do what you can to mend that broken relationship. Sometimes you just need to volunteer to get involved in that ministry. You believe God wants to use you in ministry? I want to tell you, here's how you take a step of faith. You get involved. You step through the opportunities that God gives you. It's amazing to me how some people want to be used of God, but this, you know, only this one thing. See, when we're going to be used of God, I'm going to tell you how this is supposed to work. Here I am, Lord. I'm your boy. Whatever you want. That's how this works. It really is. And we, in this world, a lot of people are saying different things, but the way this really works is that he's in charge and we just do what he wants us to do. We just obey him and whatever he gives us to do. And I'm going to tell you that whether you're talking about raising kids or you're talking about your marriage or your finances or you're talking about ministry and witnessing to people, whatever you're talking about, here's the real key. Obey the Lord in everything. That obedience shows our faith. There is an obedience that comes from faith. And I encourage you tonight to just allow the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to do to evidence your faith in your life by the way that you live each and every day. Even in the little things, I'll tell you, sometimes it's those little things, it's the daily things that really make the difference in our life as each and every day we live by faith. Stand with me, and I want us to pray.